Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, Howard number 2, Football Friday. Love it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it's your mortgage. That is the difference. Of course, Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206, radio.com, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. YouTube, just type in our show name. All the content pops up. A lot of ways to follow the show. Tiki's going to Happy Valley this weekend. Get ready for a game day's out there, right?
It is.
They're heading
there.
Out there?
Yeah, it is the whiteout
game. The whiteouts.
Yeah, okay. 7:30 kick.
Place is going to be popping, so we'll do a lot of college football a little later this hour. Next segment, Yankees have any punchback, or are they done? The Astros trying to close out the Yankees tonight in the Bronx, and we'll get into that as well. But this is a really interesting story. This young man, fifth season, first four with Denver, good player. Now all of a sudden, he's a beast. He's dismantling opposing offensive lines. He's destroying quarterbacks. He's got 9 sacks already, and that is Shaq Barrett of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are coming off the bye. They lost in London to the Panthers, and Shaq is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Shaq, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Good,
man.
We
are good. Shaq, man, your journey is fun to witness, and it's exciting to watch, especially knowing the history of it. In Denver for 5 years, four, because you didn't play your first year. You had 15 starts, I believe, and only 14 sacks. Now you have 9 and just 6 starts with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you were looking for your opportunity, and that's why you turned down the deal in Denver and decided to come as a free agent down to Tampa Bay. But, you know, what's been the biggest difference for you? Is it just opportunity?
In preparation, I said it was all like my previous 5 years in the league, like just prepared me for this career step that I was at now. And in this phase of my career I'm at now, and I'm just ready to take advantage of it. It felt like it like really was my moment, and like I just felt really ready, like skills wise, awareness on the football field. I just was ready to go, like, all around.
Yeah, no, and I remember doing the game down there with the Giants, back in week 3 with my brother. And, you know, he was telling me, you spent a lot of time with Von Miller. Obviously, he was a starter out in Denver. What'd you learn from him? Because you have a repertoire of moves that are impressive so far this season.
Oh, I learned a lot. Learned how to be a pro from him and D-Ware, mm-hmm. And I learned a whole lot of moves from Ron, like just the way he played the game, pass rush wise and run defense wise. But it's just the willingness for him to teach everybody that was there, and the willingness to be teachable, and I just took advantage of it, and I'm just feel as though it was my time to shine, and I'm trying to just show everybody what I've been learning, and all the preparation wasn't going to waste.
You know, Shaq, one of the things that was, I guess, I don't know, it was a question mark for the Bucs coming into the season. Gerald McCoy, obviously, he left. He's now in Carolina. There wasn't a definable identity of the defense. Todd Bowles is the new defensive coordinator. You know, you had to step in not only and be productive, but also be a leader. How's that transition been for you on a defense that is, I think, significantly improved from where it has been the last couple of years?
I love my role in his defense, and I love the way we all fit together inside Coach Bowles' defense. It's just like a perfect match. And I did have to fill roles that was questionable on the team, but like with the players on the team, I got to know and got to meet and play with. They pretty good. Like, they good players. As you can see, Carl had a real good game last weekend, and he's been getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So I didn't think it was a concern coming in, like after practicing with the guys. But, you know, we got to prove it on the field. And I just after that call and started to try to prove it to you guys and to everybody that I wasn't a concern.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Shaq Barrett with us here on Tiki and Tierney. He's already got 9 sacks. And, by the way, won a championship with the Broncos, Super Bowl 50 back in the day. Back in the day, like it was 30 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And, you know, I like how you explained your rise. And Tiki certainly knows this far better than I do. But not everybody's athlete, not every athlete is on the same trajectory. It takes a while for the mind to fully sync up with the physical talents. And it seems as if that's happening for you now, as evidenced by the 9 sacks. And I'm curious, the last 2 games, you've been a little quiet, no disrespect. But I wonder that, you know, now you're coming into games, everybody, where's Shaq? Are you getting more doubles? Are they chipping more? Has it been a different approach against you the last couple of games than it was the first few?
Yeah, it's been a different approach. But, the last game, it was a lot different. It felt... felt like I got double team chip like almost every play that game, but I appreciated it though because they respected what I could do on the field.
Yeah,
that's all I want to do is just help my team any way possible, just show everybody that I can play and get the respect that I'm earning and I think I deserve. But yeah. I'm gonna study film and try to figure out a way to beat the chip in a double team.
You know, and I've just talked to you now, so I don't you know pretend to know you, but. It seems like you are motivated to prove people wrong. Like it's intense. You're chasing respect. It seems like that's your fuel almost.
That's part of it, but I just want to prove everybody who do believe in me right. Mm-hmm. And I just want to just prove myself. As well.
Mm-hmm. And you want to make that money too. Who are we kidding, Shaq?
Oh, yeah, that's a big part of it too.
Hey, let me ask you this, because, you know, Jameis, from the first play, he threw a pick. The offense, you know, the London trip is different. Mm-hmm. It's unique. It's totally different. It's a logistical nightmare, if we could really call it for what it is. I don't care how early you get there, like the Raiders have gotten there early, and that actually served them well. You can't really plan for that. And I don't want to say, were you guys ready to play? Because I'm sure schematically you were. But did the week really throw you guys for a loop? Because I think a lot of us expected a better performance out of Tampa.
We did, too. And we're not blaming it on the week at all. We was prepared. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody was well-rested. And if they wasn't, it was on. And then we had a lot of time to catch up on sleep. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't put it on. I just think we just wasn't – I don't know. We just didn't play well. And we just made a lot of bad decisions. But – we're going. Good thing we had to buy. We got a lot of time to figure it out. Come back ready to play and get back on the winning side of stuff.
You know, Shaq, Bruce Arians is a good friend. He's been a good friend of our show as well, and we feel like we know him and his tendencies, his methods, and as he tries to flip this thing around for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. From your perspective, what are you getting out of coach? And as you guys go into this bye week, what's the message? Because for early part of the season, it felt like you guys might be a team that could make a run at it. What's the message right now, though?
We take this time, get away from it for a little bit, and then come back ready to work because we know we got an opportunity to come back and be a good team because we've been beating ourselves a lot of the time out there. The offense, defense, and special teams. So, and it's stuff that we can fix easily. So we know that when we come back, we just got to be mentally focused. It's all about mental focus because we make a lot of mistakes in crucial parts of the time. I mean, crucial parts of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Shaq Barrett, terrific player for the Bucs. Got 9 sacks already, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Shaq, you know, just from this is a non-Buck question, but you guys have been one of the few teams that have curtailed to an extent Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's on a ridiculous a run to start this season, but you guys held him in check in the first game you guys played, and even last game he did score a couple of touchdowns, but numbers wise he didn't do much special against you all. What's the secret to him? Because most people can't figure it out, but it seems like you guys have kind of figured it out. How do you game plan against a guy like Christian McCaffrey?
Man, we've been having to go against a lot of tough running backs this year. So we had to know we had to come. Well, we've been talking about it since OTAs, training camp, that, like, these are the guys we got coming in. We got to be a run-stopping defense in order to get after the pass and stop to get some sacks. So we was ready, like, for a long time and preparing for a long time. So when the time came, there was just stuff that we've been preparing for a long time. And Coach Bowles got a great scheme. He got a real great scheme for everything that we play. So whenever we mess up, it's not him at all. It's always us.
Attaboy. Pass the don't pass the buck to your coach.
Exactly.
You got to assume the blame. Let me ask you this here, Shaq. I look at the NFC South, and you know, put us, if you can be pretty candid here, it sounds like you will be, or at least you'll try. When Drew Brees goes down, you know, if I'm on the Bucks, I'm probably saying to myself, a little window of opportunity there, you know. Oh, well, Cam's hurt. Kyle Allen, yeah, probably pretty good. Well, the Falcons, they're not winning many games. I mean, it seemed like a couple of weeks ago this division was possibly up for grabs. Did you feel it then, and do you still feel you could get back and win this division?
Yep, we still feel the same way. We knew that the Saints was going to be tough with or without Drew Brees, but so that we wasn't like sleeping on them at all, because Teddy Bridgewater proved that he could win in the league when he was with the Vikings. And so we wasn't sleeping on them at all, but we was looking like, yeah, this is an opportunity for us to come back and show everybody that we're not just the slumps of the conference and the division. So we do think we got an opportunity to come back and still prove to everybody, because it's still early in the season, got enough time to turn it around, and that's our goal, and we want to get to that.
Yeah. No, Shaq, you've only been here for a season, and obviously with the off season and being around this team and getting to know it. So you may or may not be aware of the noise, I'll use that word, around your quarterback and Jameis Winston. And I know BT mentioned it early, but Jameis, it feels to us, and we're just talking heads, that this is a prove it year for him, that he had to, you know, amend some of those mistake driven ways that have cost the team wins. Do you guys hear any of that? And more importantly, how is Jameis handling all of that in the locker room?
Shoot, we never, I never hear any of that in the locker room. Never hear any of that talk. But occasionally I do see it in the media. And I mean, he would know better than anybody. He knows if he needs to play better. I'm pretty sure he judges himself harder than anybody else judges him. So, I mean, if it is his prove it, yeah, he's trying to prove it. He's still going to prove it.
Yeah.
And if he still do got time to turn it around. So I still believe in him. I think he's going to get the job done. He's going to help lead us to the playoffs.
All right. Shaq Barrett, sounding good, playing well. So you have the bye this week. Is Shaq Barrett the kind of guy that sits on the couch and watches the red zone, or does Shaq Barrett say, you know what, I'm not playing today, I'm not watching football? Will you watch the games?
I might watch some games. I usually don't, but like this break, I mean, this bye, we just came back home and just wanted to relax and just get back inside our house. So I might just turn a couple games on and see what it's looking like.
Understood. All right, man. Enjoy the bye. Shaq Barrett, 9 sacks so far in the season.
Leading the league.
Yeah, number one in the league. Thanks a lot, Shaq. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. Shaq Barrett.
Kind of out of nowhere.
Well, you know what? Yes, in terms of 9 sacks, sure. But you said, what, 14 sacks in 15 games?
15 starts.
15 starts, pardon me.
He played in probably, I don't know, 60-something games. But he only had 15 starts in his 4 years of playing in Denver.
Still pretty good production.
It is. And especially because he was the backup. He was the situational guy in a sense. Von Miller, he mentioned DeMarcus Ware. A lot of people forgotten DeMarcus, who's known as a Cowboy, but the latter part of his years, he was in Denver.
Ray was a first-round pick.
Exactly.
They wanted to get him some burn.
And then they drafted Bradley Chubb.
Yep.
And so there was no room for him. So he kind of came out of nowhere, but he had a good like group of like his DB, his DN room was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
We talk about the quarterback room. We don't talk about the other rooms.
No, but his is with Vaughn and DeMarcus Ware and these other young kids in there. I mean, he had a great room to learn from.
Took advantage.
And he's taking advantage of it, as we see, leading the league in sacks right now.
Good stuff by Shaq Barrett. Coming up next, the Astros, a win away from going back to the World Series. What happened to the Yankees that we watched all year? What is up with the Yankees? Well, the simple answer is Astros are better. Can the Yankees change anything to extend the series? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, the Astros trying to get to the World Series again. We're going to get into that here on the show. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more On car insurance. What are those, the Simpsons clouds? Look at this. It's like the start of the Simpsons right there. The Simpsons. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. So we'll do college football coming up next segment. Tiki's going out to Happy Valley. He's going to be on the call for a little Nittany Lion Wolverine action in the Big Ten. You know, I thought we were going to get a lot of action last night early from the Yankees, who once again had the Astros on the ropes.
Bases loaded in the first inning, right?
Yeah. And once again, the inability, they chiseled out the one run off Brett Gardner's walk, but just a lot of hollow, empty at-bats. And, you know, listen, you watch the Astros play, and it's no surprise that they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm surprised about, and I thought the Yankees were beyond this. I'm very surprised that they've changed their approach as radically as they have. I don't care how many home runs you hit during the regular season. Mm-hmm. You're playing against horrendous bullpens and horrendous teams, some of them, with no budgets. They're throwing out borderline triple or quadruple A, if you want to say.
Yeah.
Quadruple A arms out there. Of course you get a feast on it. It's hot. The ball's juicy.
Yeah.
Big damn deal. Show me something. When it's 1-2,
yep,
and they're shading you one way, mm-hmm, and you got to hit it, and it's a 91-mile-per-hour slider on the corner, and you got to whack it down the other line. The Yankees at bats have been pitiful not emblematic of a champion.
Yeah, you're right.
They look terrible.
They look terrible because it feels like they are reading their own press. And I hate to say that because we buy into it and we love it when it's happening. Man, how many home runs are these guys going to hit? 306 they hit. During the regular season, BTG was second to the Twins.
I think it was 307. Twins had 308, and I thought we had 307.
Whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was a ton.
Yeah.
I see them, bases loaded, one out, maybe even bases loaded, no outs, whatever it was, bases loaded, zero or one out, and just swinging for the fence.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, put the ball in play.
Swinging from the heels.
Right? Put the ball in play. Hell, bunt if you have to.
Let me get that launch angle.
Do something.
It's driving me nuts,
man. It is, and especially because the Astros don't have pitchers that you're going to take advantage of like that. As pedestrian as Zach Greinke's fastball is, the dude can locate. And he was dotting the corners, and he wasn't getting it. That's why he threw seven straight balls and walked the bases loaded. Like, he was dotting it. He was dotting it. He's like, man, I'm not getting it. But then he found it.
Mm-hmm.
And after he found it, these guys are still swinging for the fence. It's like, just put the bat on the ball. Wherever it goes, it's going to score you a run. With the bases loaded. And they didn't do that. They never changed their approach. It was frustrating.
They compounded their... You're right, because Greinke... And by the way, there's a couple of borderline calls, and not just because I'm rooting for the Yankees, but I honestly thought there were three in particular that were very close that Greinke did not get that I honestly, sincerely, truly thought
were
properly called. I thought they were balls. They just missed. Having said that, once he started dotting it, as you said, and he started to, then the Yankees just completely compounded it by expanding the zone.
That's right.
Listen, everybody that steps into that Astros batter's box, from Springer to Altuve to Correa, up and down the lineup, I know that they're going to make you Bregman for sure. They're going to grind. Listen, they hit a ton of home runs. They never strike out, and they led the American League in walks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they have three aces or two and a half aces. And they've got championship pedigree. The Astros are supposed to win this series, no doubt. But I got to tell you, this stupid model, the Yankees, and you know, this is where the analytics drive me nuts. They have to deviate from this a little bit. They keep marching up these, you know, these one-trick pony sluggers. And Encarnacion's got to take a seat, man. I mean, put Voit in there. And I know Gary Sanchez hit the home run. I'd play Romine tonight. I honestly would consider playing Romine tonight.
They got to do something different.
I don't know what they're going to do. Now, I don't know what they're going to do. Verlander very well could come out and whiff 12, and Yankees go in a very docile manner into the offseason, and the Astros and the Nats get ready for the World Series. It's... They've looked bad.
They have looked bad. But at the same time, the Astros have just looked really good.
Very true.
Because they've had bad situations. They've put themselves in bad. Garrett Cole didn't pitch well.
No.
In game three.
No.
In the first inning.
Nor did Greinke early in the series. He went 3 2/3.
You're right. But in the last couple of games, the Yankees have had them on the ropes. Like, legit. Bases loaded. First inning.
Yep.
Both last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And they've wiggled their way out of
it.
Yep. And that's it's a fault of the Yankees, but you also have to give the Astros some credit. You have to
100%.
Give like the mentality of Garrett Cole to stay locked in And I forgot how he struck out, but you strike out the side and you give up no runs.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Greinke. Man, I walked a run in. It could have got off the rails quick.
Yep.
He snapped himself back in. Like Coach Fossil, when we were good with the Giants in his early ages, he used to have this saying. He like F us, F focus or F us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Astros live by that. They're not always that way, but when they get focused, it's really really hard to beat them. That's on the mound. It's also at the plate as well, because you slip up one time, it's going out of the ballpark.
The Astros have much, maybe not much more. The Astros definitely have more well-rounded, multifaceted, multi-tooled players.
Yeah, but we knew this.
No doubt about it.
It would have taken a Herculean effort.
But hold on. But I don't know that it would have, based on all they had to do was get a little broken, a broken bat, bloop, base hit, one of two games, and we're sitting here and it's tied.
This is why game two was so big. This is why.
Yeah, you can point. And listen, the play by Correa,
yeah,
emblematic of where their head's at. What a play.
That's right.
I mean, the play by Correa off Altuve. This was obviously in Houston. Ricocheted off Altuve. He was in the right spot. I talked about this. Phil Nevin, the third base coach for the Yankees, I had no issue sending him home. You need a multitude of things to happen on that play. You know, Correa's got to retrieve it properly. He's got to grip it properly. He's got to turn and fire a strike properly. He's got to block the play. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to have happen. And I'm a big believer in putting stress on the defense in October, for sure. I don't know what the heck's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, I don't either.
But Boone better mix up this lineup here.
He's got
to. This is the knock on Boone,
yeah,
and the Yankees. A little too analytically driven here.
Yeah, he's got to try to.
Get some new juice in there.
The unfortunate thing, we hit this a little bit earlier, but we'll hear from our boy CeCe here, is they'll do it without CeCe Sabathia, who's been taken off the roster.
Well,
his Hall of Fame, 19-year Hall of Fame career coming to an end. And he talked about his injury, his arm injury after the game last night.
I had no pain. I've been feeling good the last week, 10 days, whatever. Arm's been feeling fresh. Everything's been feeling good. And just that last pitch to Diaz when he popped up, I just felt like when I released the ball, kind of my shoulder kind of went with it.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No,
he's been fighting this for a while. Obviously, he was not on the DS, the ALDS roster for the Yankees because of this. They wanted to give him a chance to feel better. He likely wasn't going to ever start a game, but having learned how to pitch over the last couple of years, and you know what I mean when I say learn how to pitch.
Sure.
He became a valuable piece out of the bullpen.
No doubt about
right?
it.
Especially a stabilizer if you get short with your starter. And it ended in an emotional way. If you're sitting at home, I was watching this in real time. I felt really bad.
Everybody around baseball felt badly.
Everybody
for
did. You're right.
Everybody.
And
Gerrit Cole had tears in his eyes.
Right. Because he's a legend, man.
Yeah.
And those in the stadium treated him the right way.
Oh, yeah,
here
that's
he is
a given.
Talking about the ovation.
That's what got me more emotional than actual injury. Just hearing the fans and the way that they were cheering me and it's just makes me feel good. Makes me feel like I made the right choice 11 years ago. I love these fans, love this organization, and it was just awesome to hear that and get that on the way out.
Yeah, and he's going to Cooperstown. Nobody's going to debate that. Mm-hmm. and Mike and I were talking during the break, and it's interesting, too, the way the script, you just can't control the script. And you can try to control it to a degree. Do I come? Like, Eli Manning can't determine the absolute final script, but he can determine if he wants to play somewhere else next year. And then obviously you have to let things happen organically and see what happens. This is just me. I don't know that everybody would agree with this. That's the way that I would want to end the game. I mean, you play.
End your career.
If I couldn't touch home plate on a walk-off home run, sure. But I mean, a guy physically hanging by a thread. And that's why Girardi broke down on the MLB Network where, and we don't see this, and I know Yankee fans and baseball fans know this, but what he had to do just to get in between starts, just to represent a major league pitcher when he was on the mound for us to see, you can't appreciate the rigors and the taxing of the body. So if you're going to squeeze out 19 years, and he could have easily given up a two-run double or a three-run jack and gotten pulled, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what? There's worse ways to end your career than hearing the adulation from 45,000 maniacs cheering for you.
Look, he went out a warrior. He went out a warrior.
The last bullet fired.
You're right. He used every single one of them, and that's
how do you not respect that? That's unbelievable.
Not very many people can say that.
No,
not very many people can, because they're not given the chance or they walk away early, like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people can say they literally left it all out on the field, and that's what CC did. And so in a lot of ways, as bad, as sad as it was from a friend standpoint, just from a Yankee standpoint, from a fan, a baseball standpoint, it was fitting because that's how he played his whole career, man. So, you know, hats off to CC.
Oh, yeah.
Retirement will treat you well, my friend.
He's got a few bucks lined up and a few jobs lined up. Yeah. I think he's going to do all right.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
He'll be okay. And the other thing before we get Jay's update here is that no other sport really gives you this stage like this where – you know, if you're a football player, I mean, if you can't move, you can't play.
That's right.
They can hide you in the NBA. All right, reduce minutes like Dirk at the end with the Mavericks. But if the Mavericks were really good and they were playing in the Western Conference Finals and they were playing for championships like they used to, Dirk would have been exploited and abused, with all due respect to the great Dirk Nowitzki, who I love. Baseball, you could still trot somebody out there, pinch hit, couple of spots here, relief out of the bullpen.
That's right.
He got the moment that he did. Granted, he walked off holding his shoulder, but
yeah, except
well learned.
He put on his social media, I think it was a couple of days ago, he trotted out from the bullpen. He's like, that's the longest I've run in the last decade.
He hasn't been on too many treadmills lately. His knees won't let him.
I know.
Knees won't let him.
But from the bullpen, you got to run out when you're a reliever.
The old days, they would put you in the old Toyota pinstripe car.
That's right.
I like those. Dave Rigetti used to come out of that. All right, coming up next, we get Jay Berman's update, and then do a little college football. Tiki's going out to Happy Valley. Everybody keeps saying, big game for Harbaugh, last stand for Harbaugh. It's a bigger game for Penn State. It's a bigger game for Penn State. We'll talk about that after Jay's update right now. Here's Jay.
Okay, Sunday, the NFL on CBS heads to Lambeau Field with the Packers taking on the Raiders, plus a key AFC South battle as the Texans and the Colts hook up. It all starts with JB and the guys getting you set for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. By the way, if you ever miss anything on the show, you want to get it to a buddy, send them something you think they want to hear that they might have missed, you can find our podcast. Just go to radio.com and the radio.com app. That's great stuff for you. Stay in tune with the entire network, of course, plus cbssportsradio.com, iTunes, or really anywhere you get a podcast. Just download and subscribe away. The interviews, we had Phil Simms yesterday from the NFL Today, our buddy Phil, you know, 15 years with the Giants, Super Bowl champ. He was terrific. He broke down all the quarterbacks from 2018, obviously Baker and so on and so forth, and Mahomes, and before he got hurt, of course. But he was great. We had Jason Lockenfora. We had Shaq Barrett earlier today from the Tampa Bay Bucks. So there are a lot of ways to go. And right now we go toward the college football scene. And Tiki, it only took you 40-something years to get out to Happy Valley, but you're finally going to a game.
You know, it's funny. I almost went to school there, too.
Okay.
You know, but
I didn't know you almost went to Penn State.
Yeah, but they stopped recruiting me. I've told you this story.
Well, you told me the Michigan story that with the weather. I didn't know about Penn
State.
So
Michigan, what happened in Michigan is we were supposed to go on an official visit, and we got snowed out.
Yep.
And so it was like, dude, I'm not going somewhere that I can't get home or get to because of weather. Because obviously we all know, if you know the Northeast or the Midwest up there, the weather gets horrendous.
Oh, yeah. I lived Michigan. In Detroit. It's cold.
Exactly. And then, but at Penn State, the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach ended up taking the job at Wake Forest.
Okay.
Why am I forgetting his name? He worked under Tony Dungy, took over NFL coach for a long time in the league. For whatever reason, I can't remember his name. It'll pop in my head in a second. So when he left to go take the job at Wake Forest.
Caldwell? Mike just said Caldwell.
Yep. Jim Caldwell left. Nobody picked me up.
Slackers.
We wanted to go to Penn State.
Did he pass along the information?
No,
did he try to get you to Wake Forest?
No.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Because he said subsequently have asked him about this.
Yeah.
He said, I wanted you all to have liked me enough to follow me to Wake Forest without having me come back and get you.
Okay,
it's a different era.
But I need to know that you still want me to come and follow you.
Different era, though.
I mean, do I still have a scholarship offer?
Different era in recruiting.
I hear you. No, you know, very different.
He's an old school guy.
But anyway,
never been to Happy Valley.
All right.
This is the annual whiteout game. It's a huge one as well because so much is at stake, mainly for Penn State.
Oh,
we know that Michigan got trounced by Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin and really did nothing in that game. But Wisconsin turned out to be a pretty good team this season. And so it's a loss that's explainable and maybe one that they can even avenge. This is Michigan if they get to the Big Ten championship game. So as bad as that was, it was not in the division. So it wasn't as huge of a game as this one is, because if Michigan loses this game,
oh yeah, it's over.
It's over.
It's already over. But yeah, it'll I think officially it'll be over.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously, I have to. I'll call it. So we'll see. But for Penn State, this is enormous. You know, James Franklin has not had much success against the Michigan Wolverines in his five seasons. This obviously being his sixth, he's 1-4 against Michigan. And if there's one year that he has to beat them, it's this one, because it doesn't get easier for them. This is obviously a home game, the Whiteout games we talk about, against a Big Ten rival in Michigan, but they still have to go on the road and play Michigan State, Minnesota,
I know,
who is still 6-0 on the season and likely to go to 7-0 after this weekend, and then Ohio State. They have those three road games left for Penn State. So if Penn State wants to be in this conversation with their top two scoring defense in the nation, all of football, they don't give up points, they have to win this game. There's so much at stake for Penn State if they want to get into the college football playoff conversation. It starts with winning this game, and they got three more tough ones away from Happy Valley that they have to win as well. So there's a lot that's going on in this weekend in Pennsylvania.
Well, you get to do a good game. You're getting to do a good game in a great atmosphere with legitimate championship and big picture complications and implications, I should say, no doubt. Here's my only worry about Penn State, because I don't want to say I can't waste time on Michigan, but I feel like, you know, we exhaust Michigan, the Harbaugh stuff, until you actually win a big game. I almost feel like it's disrespectful to make Michigan more of the story here than Penn State. Penn State matters more to me. I think, well, you're calling the game. Penn State matters more to me right now, big picture, than Michigan does, until Michigan proves otherwise. My concern about Penn State, yeah, you're right. Their defense, they give up 8 change points a game, 8.2 or 8.3. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think they'll fall behind big against Michigan, because, number one, I think that they're a little bit better. And number two, Michigan, that's not their MO offensively.
Yep.
So I don't envision that being a real issue. Michigan State can't score either with any sort of consistency. Yeah. I don't think they'll fall behind big there. Can Minnesota get out and score a little points? And the penultimate game is against the Buckeyes, as you mentioned. If they fall behind 17-3, 27-10, I'm just throwing, and again, that seems unlikely given their defense.
Yep.
But the inability to crank off points when they need them is a concern for Penn
State. Well, I mean, look, Sean Clifford is their quarterback, and he's first-year starter. He's safe. Doesn't make a ton of mistakes.
Which is all you want with a great defense, you're down.
Right. He's got 13 touchdowns on the season and I think only two interceptions. But he's also the leading rusher, meaning by carries, not by number, but by carries. 59 rushes he's had on the season and a couple that he scored on the ground. He's a good player. He's not a Tua-type player, though. No. He's not, like, taking over a game and saying, it's going on my back. Hop on, guys. Let's go. We're getting this done. That's not his M.O. The one player that fits that mold, in a sense, is a young one. His name's K.J. Hamler, but he's little. He's, like, 5'10". He's 175 pounds. He's a burner. He had this ridiculous touchdown last week. He had no business scoring.
How tall is he? 5'what?
5'10 or so, 5'11".
Okay.
But he's little. He's like 178 pounds, but he runs a 4.3 40.
Can he throw a little bit?
No. This is the receiver. It's a wide receiver. KJ Hamler.
He's a wide receiver. Gotcha.
He's their difference maker. Like, he's the guy that could get him the ball in space. He'll break it open for you.
Yeah.
But it's just not their MO. You know, and so it's
holding them back a little bit here.
A little bit. It is. But this is a game where they're going to have to prove it. I mean, history shows that they don't play well against Michigan.
I hear you.
And especially over the last 5 years, as I mentioned before, they're only 1-4. But there's a lot at stake. I mean, I've never been to this.
You're going to love it.
I've never been, but I can imagine tomorrow night at 7:30 is going to be off the chain.
It's going to be phenomenal.
So much is at stake. You know, it's not like Illinois is coming in here on whiteout night.
No, I got you.
Michigan.
Or Maryland.
Exactly.
Or
it's Michigan coming in on whiteout night.
The bright lights and game day going there.
So
it's a great atmosphere. Listen, I've been to Happy Valley. I've been to the Big House. And I've been to the Horseshoe. And in terms of energy, now, I haven't seen the Buckeyes play a good team there. I saw them play Indiana. And this was not Antoine Randall, Indiana. This was just horrendous. We have to play them, and let's beat them by 70 points, Indiana. And they were still fervent. They were crazy. I would say, in my opinion, and not trying to throw shade at any fan base here, I would say I'd put the Horseshoe number one. I'd put Happy Valley man, I'm close to putting it right there.
Oh,
I need
really?
a slight tick below it.
Yeah.
And then Michigan third.
106.
In terms of game day energy.
106,000.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people, no, and they are loud, and they are smart.
Yeah.
They,
I'm really looking to it. The one thing I guess you could take solace in, because this now brings it back, not full circle, but back around to Michigan. Jim Harbaugh has struggled when they're not expected to win.
He never wins when they're under the struggle. This code for saying he's basically winless.
Winless. 0-7.
Be very kind here,
0-7 when he's the dog.
What are they paying him all that money for? And we love this guy.
0-7
when you're an underdog.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it tells you a lot. And they're a big one in this game, relatively speaking.
What is the spread?
9.5. 9.5. So they're a big one in this game on the road. In an intense situation where we know their quarterback hasn't lived up to the hype.
No.
Shea Patterson was supposed to be the savior. He hasn't lived up to the hype. It is what it is. Their defense is good, not nearly as good as it was a year ago or two seasons ago.
Agreed.
Still top 15.
Yeah, but it's not generating the sure fields of the offense like it once did.
That's right.
And they need that because they have a dearth of offense. You know, again, back to Penn State, I'm really trying to – and so I've seen them play this year, some games where – I didn't see the Idaho game. Who cares? I mean, they scored 79 points. Buffalo is down. We know that.
Yeah, they lost their quarterback left.
Correct. And the receiver as well.
The kid's not even in the league. What was his name?
I forget his name, but we talked about him. Yeah. There was a thought. He had a big arm.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking about him around draft day. Pittsburgh, that's a rivalry. So even though it wasn't pretty, it was actually a home game. They won by a touchdown. All right, you win, you move on. At Maryland, you smoke them 59-0. You crushed Purdue. They were challenged at Iowa. Iowa's always a representative program.
But Iowa's always got a good defense.
Yep.
And they get after you.
And a good O-line, and they're usually smart. You know, Kirk Ferentz is a good coach, so they're disciplined. You know, I just, they haven't.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The marquee win isn't there.
And I'm okay with that. But I have to stop short of saying I can't thrust them into that part of the conversation yet.
But if they beat a number six, so
Iowa
17, of course. Okay. Iowa 17, they beat them. It was a tight one, 17-12.
Yep.
They beat 16 in Michigan. Let's say this happens.
Gotcha.
Then they play Michigan State. Michigan State's not ranked, but it is a rivalry game on the road. Yep. So if they beat Michigan State, then they play Minnesota, who's also ranked, right? Penn State's not going to get there by beating Michigan tomorrow night. They're not going to all of a sudden rise to the, you know, the top of the heap, and people are going to be like, "Yep, this is the team that's going to the college football playoff in the Big Ten." That's not going to happen. But if they push their way through what is a very difficult stretch here,
those three games,
Iowa, Michigan,
Iowa.
I know, but just the stretch. I mean, it's ridiculous. You throw out Indiana. You know, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, those last two on the road, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
At Ohio State, and then you finish up with Rutgers. I mean, so hopefully, if you get through that,
yeah.
I mean, how do you not put them in
the... Well, that's the break point of the season. Even if they lose, put it this way, and this is really going forward, obviously multiple steps, if they win all these games... By the way, why couldn't the schedule makers be kind and give them Rutgers / bye week, maybe sandwiched in between some of these games that they have coming up? If they get to November 23rd at that point, let's say they win their next four, you're 10-0, you're at Ohio State. Ohio State will be favored by double figures. And even if you lose a tight one, you know, I mean, would you have to win that game?
Yeah.
You'd have to
because you don't play in the college, you don't play in the Big Ten championship. And so that's the other thing.
That's right.
They get through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to play Wisconsin, presumably, from the West in the Big Ten championship.
I'm not sure how good Penn State is. I love when they're relevant.
Yeah,
and you're top 10, you're obviously relevant.
They're relevant, and if they win this game, it makes them more relevant.
But I disagree. They're supposed to win this game.
But it's Michigan. It doesn't matter.
But that means nothing to me.
If they beat
Michigan's not that good.
I understand that,
and I think people know that. But if they beat Michigan,
look, they're relevant because of the 7th-ranked team in the country right now. If they beat Michigan in Happy Valley, they become more relevant. If they beat Michigan State at Michigan State, they become even more relevant. And again, it's not happening like that.
No.
This isn't a snap. None of these games are snap of the finger things. It's a slow climb. If they beat Michigan State, then they beat Minnesota. They breathe through Indiana. And if they somehow beat Ohio State, then
you got to go beat Wisconsin.
Exactly. It doesn't ever get easy for them.
That is a pretty hellacious stretch right there. I hear you. They should win the game. I have a feeling it's going to be kind of tight for whatever reason, but that's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun there. Coming up, the important Week 7 games. We'll pick a few. We'll tell you what to expect in the NFL coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.